feel like I'm in a different part of the country, you know? The weather has been just incredible. I mean, is this Bandon or? It's just unbelievable. You know, the problem is that people come and visit here. And they see this weather and they go, oh man, we got to move there. And then comes the sideways rain. You know, when we moved over here, we threw our umbrellas away. I mean, what good do they do over here? You know, it's like somebody takes a garden hose and just sprays you. You know, umbrella doesn't do you much good. Anyway, it's been beautiful. Been really, really nice. A couple of things coming up. We've got a men's retreat October 3rd, 4th, and 5th. So you guys, we don't have signups yet, but just kind of mark those dates if you'd like to go on the men's retreat. It'll be our church and South Valley Fellowship from Eugene, Scott Biondi, and I will be doing the teaching at that. So that's going to be, again, October 3rd, 4th, and 5th. So kind of mark that down. Also, speaking of men's studies, if you guys that go to the Tuesday morning and Thursday morning men's study, there is no men's study this week. So if you could help spread the word to guys that you know perhaps aren't here, or there are guys that go to that study that don't really attend this fellowship, if you guys that know them could let them know. Also, there's church directories available now. We've had these cards out for the last few weeks that you could put your name and phone number and all that on if you want to be a part of the church directory. And those are available in the bookstore. They're free. Just pick one up if you want people's phone numbers that you don't have now, perhaps. So help yourself to those. Koinonia tonight at the places listed there in your bulletin. High school, youth group, and junior high tonight here at the church. Also, on the 23rd of this month, Saturday the 23rd, we will have Sean McDonald in concert. He's a young guy from the Corvallis-Salem area that's going to come down and share kind of a real mellow acoustic type of deal. And then perhaps he'll stay over and do worship Sunday morning. I think that's what he's scheduled to do. Also, tomorrow during the day, I think it's between 2 and 9, we're sponsoring Extreme Tours. They'll be at Mingus Park. There's about 7 groups playing there between, I think, 2 and 9 o'clock. So you can take that in if you like. And they're going to be over here in Bandon at the skate park on Tuesday. So you might want to check it out. Of course, it's Extreme Tours, so if that gives you any indication what the music might be like, it's really an outreach for the kids, you know, to reach kids, and they don't promote on their advertising, on their posters or anything, that it's strictly Christian, so that they attract kids to come hear the music, but then they get blasted with the gospel while they're there coming. They think they're just showing up to hear some loud music, but then they hear the gospel loud and clear is the idea there. Our Israel trip, still time and room to sign up. If you want to, you can pick up an itinerary. They're in the bookstore, and you can check it out and see what we're going to be doing. It's going to be a great trip in March of 2004, next year. And it's going to be awesome. We're going to take a trip also to Petra while we're there and see that rock city and all that. So if you want to see the Holy Land and you want to go pick up one of those itineraries and the costs there and all that, so join us if you'd like to. Well, open your Bibles to Exodus chapter 30 this morning. Exodus chapter 30. As you know, we've been kind of working our way through this amazing book. Book of all kinds of huge topics, a book of all kinds of huge teachings that express deliverance for us and how to live and how to dress really as priests of Jesus Christ, how to deal with things in life, and there's so much practical application in the book of Exodus. And I know that's not normally the viewpoint of these Old Testament books, that they're, you know, they're to get through as quickly as you possibly can and move on to something pertinent for me and you. But there's so much here that really is amazingly applicable, because, of course, Jesus said, search the scriptures, because there you will find me. And so this is what we want to do. Verse 17 of chapter 30, beginning there, Exodus 30, verse 17. And the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, thou shalt also make a laver of brass, and his foot also of brass to wash withal. And thou shalt put it between the tabernacle of the congregation and the altar. And thou shalt put water therein, for Aaron and his sons shall wash their hands and their feet thereat. When they go in into the tabernacle of the congregation, they shall wash with water, that they die not. Or when they come near to the altar to minister, to burn offering made by fire unto the Lord, they shall wash their hands and their feet, and that they die not, and it shall be a statute forever to them, even to him and to his seed throughout their generation. And Father, we just, again, want to know what the word would say to us, what you want to speak into our lives today. So as we study again, may your Spirit come now and fill this place. Father, give us understanding that we don't have in and of ourselves. Help us to see the truth that's here so we can, Lord, walk and live right, so we can be affected and changed. So teach us today, Lord. Instruct us, we pray, in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. When I was a kid, about 12 or 13 years old, I used to love to play football in the rain. Did any of you guys just, I mean, it was such a blast to play football in the rain. Pouring rain, you know. And me and my brother, my older brother Logan, we used to grab two guys that lived across the street from us there in Inglewood, California. And we would grab these two guys, these brothers, and we would go down to Circle Park. It was a park that was a circle. So it was appropriately named Circle Park. And we would grab these guys, football in hand, and head down to play football, especially when it was downpouring, when it was just pouring down rain. And of course, you know what happens when you play football in the rain. After any length of time, it turns muddy. And that was when it really got fun. And we would do this two-man football, me and my brother, against Tim Akers and Harley Akers, and we kind of had a rivalry going against these two brothers. They lived across the street, and we'd go play baseball, football. It didn't matter what we played. It was just like us against them. We always won. We always beat them. It was great. It was fun, you know, because we won. But the point is, we would be playing after, you know, a while, and it would get just muddy out there, and we really loved it when it got muddy, because you just get coated. And you'd tackle a guy, and you just slide, you know, for 30 feet. It was just a blast. And so we'd play all day and virtually be totally covered, absolutely coated with mud. And we thought, this is great, until we got home. And my mom would look at us when we were standing there at the back door of our house. And she would look at us and she would say, if you want to come into this house, you're going to have to wash off out there, take those clothes off, and then get into the shower if you want to come into the rest of this house. Right? You sound familiar, guys? And, you know, she had a right to say it was her house. Now, back then, I didn't think the mud was a big deal. In fact, I thought it was kind of fun to be coated with mud. You know, it's just some mud. But before we could come into the rest of the house and enjoy the fellowship of the rest of the family, we had to clean ourselves off with water. We had to wash. And Mom still loved us the same, but she wanted us clean before we came in to the house. Now, I've got to admit, even though the mud was fun, I couldn't wait to get it off of me. I mean, it was fun while you're playing football, but after you got done playing the football, the mud started kind of caking up and drying. Your hair started getting brittle. You looked like you just had a mud bath, you know? I mean, because you did. I mean, it kind of got gross. And you really couldn't wait to get clean. And that hot shower, that water washing the mud off really, really felt good. It was nice to get clean. Now, here in Exodus chapter 30, in this particular section of Scripture, we have a description of the brass laver. It was just really a big bowl. We don't know, however, the dimensions. They're not given. We don't know how big of a bowl it was, but it was just a brass bowl. And the important part of the laver, the bowl, was what was in it. And we read there that in verse 18 and 19 that it was to be filled with water. The water that was in the bowl was the important part, because we see that Aaron and his sons were to wash their hands and feet in the laver. So the purpose of this bowl, this laver of water, was that the priests needed to wash and be cleansed, be clean. Well, does this picture salvation for us? No, I don't believe it does. The brass altar where the sin offering was offered, remember the burnt offering? Pictures Jesus Christ, his sacrifice on the cross. That's where the sin was dealt with altogether. The sin was dealt with on the altar. And that's why the brass altar was the first thing you'd see if you entered into the fenced-in area of that courtyard, remember? First thing you encounter is the brass altar. That's where sin was dealt with, you see. So what does this mean? The bowl of water in between, we're told here, between that altar and the tabernacle, the tent, the actual tent inside the courtyard, between the doorway of the tent and the altar, there was this water for the priests to wash their hands and feet with. Who are the priests now? You guys. We are. We are the royal priesthood, Peter says. We are those priests now. We represent the priesthood, if you would. This priesthood that we're looking at here in this Old Testament economy, it's no longer in existence, although the Jews would think it is. It's actually shut down. It doesn't really have any value anymore during this time. Because, of course, Jesus came and fulfilled all the law, all the ordinances, and therefore this whole system is no more. So we are the priests. Why would the priests need to wash their hands and their feet? Well, here's what would happen. The hands would just be finishing up at the altar where the animals were sacrificed, right? Where blood would get all over the hands of the priest. I know it's a gross picture in your mind, but that's what would happen. They would get bloody. Their hands would be bloody. And their feet would get dirty just walking around. Why? Well, if you recall, as we went through the wardrobe of the priests, if you recall, there's nothing provided for shoes. No shoes provided for these priests. They ministered barefoot. Now, at the altar, what was sacrificed? Animals. Now, you got a bunch of animals. You ever been in a barnyard? Now, most of us wouldn't walk around a barnyard barefoot, would we? Why? Well, because you step in stuff in a barnyard where there's animals. And this area, this courtyard, would be no different. So here's the picture for you. And again, both of these aren't real pretty pictures, are they? You got bloody hands or you've got dirty feet. You've got dirt on your feet, junk on your feet, because you've been walking around. Now, that's why the two places the priest would wash were the hands and the feet. And here's the thing. In this life of ours, guys, after we're saved, after we've been to the altar, we continue to get dirty, don't we? We continue to get dirty. 1 John 1:8, the Apostle John says, if we say that we have no sin, we deceive ourselves. In other words, we continue to get dirty. We continue to have sin in our lives, even after we've been to the altar, been saved. But here's the reality. Not all of our life, not all of our walk with the Lord is dirty, just our hands and our feet. Just our hands and our feet. The part of our life that comes into contact with blood and dirt is the part that needs washing, needs cleansing. So the priests didn't have to take a bath completely. They just needed to wash their hands and feet. And again, this is different than the washing we saw back in chapter 29, verse 4. Remember? You can glance back there if you like, just in the previous chapter, verse 4 of chapter 29. And Aaron and his sons, thou shalt bring unto the door of the tabernacle of the congregation and shalt wash them with water. Moses was to wash the priests completely, all over, complete bath. He was to bathe them completely. Here, though, we see that Aaron and his sons, they were to wash themselves. They were to wash their feet and their hands themselves. And see, folks, this simply speaks of the fact that as we walk in this world and in this life, we come into contact with sin and dirt. Blood on the hands of the priests, even though it was because they were offering sacrifices to the Lord, their hands still got bloody, which expressed that they had come into contact with death. Now, you understand, even to this day, touching a dead thing to a Jew is a no-no. I mean, you just don't touch dead stuff. So they not only touched the dead animal, but they killed it. And their hands were bloody, picturing for us what takes place when there's sin that we touch with our hands, meaning we purpose it in our hands to do. And this is the point. You and me, we do things with our hands. Now, it's one thing to step in something with your feet. Isn't it? I mean, you can walk around and go, oops, got something on my feet. Didn't mean to step there. But you might. But when you do something with your hands, you know exactly what you're doing because you have to do it. When you grab for that, when you take a hold of the other, you know what it is. And it's death. It's bloody because you've intended it to be. So whether the priest grabbed hold of something willingly or stepped in it inadvertently and got dirty feet or bloody hands, either way, they needed washing. The feet, the hands needed to be washed. Any part of their body that got soiled, dirty, you see, would have to be cleansed. Now, this laver, this bowl was located again between the altar and the tabernacle, the door of the tabernacle, this place of holy service. Remember what was in the holy place? The table of showbread, the altar of incense in the middle, and then the golden lampstand on the left. Remember? Do you remember what all those things represent? Ministry, the table of showbread, being able to prepare the bread, the word, to be able to share that. The altar of incense, where prayer is offered up. The prayers of the saints are pictured there. At the altar of incense and the lampstand, to be the light of the world, to be light unto others in this world. That area of serving God, okay? So you understand, the laver, this basin of water, was in between the salvation of the altar and the service in the holy place, to be able to serve. Being in the world, folks, has an effect on us. It gets us dirty. You can't help it. You can't help but walk in the world and get dirty, even if you just got dirty feet. But really, everybody gets both dirty hands and dirty feet. Remember the Day of Atonement, when the high priest would go into the Holy of Holies and make atonement for the sins of the nation? Do you recall that one time a year, Yom Kippur, where they would go in, sprinkle the blood on the mercy seat and in the Holy of Holies, and if the priest made it out alive, he would come out and shout to the people, forgiven, you know, it took, you know, I made it, you're going to make it another year. The problem with the Day of Atonement was this, though, and you recall, perhaps, the sins that were atoned for were sins of ignorance. Ignorance. Oops. Oops. I stepped in something. Oops. But the problem is the sin of purpose, the purposeful, willful sin was not atoned for. Numbers 15, you can read the section there. It's amazing. The Lord says, the atonement will cover the sin of ignorance. And again, if you sin ignorantly, again, if you sin ignorantly, it's covered, this sin of ignorance. But, the Lord says, if you sin presumptuously, that's it for you. So you can imagine the high priest coming out of that Holy of Holies that day on the Day of Atonement and saying, hey, I got good news and I got bad news. The good news is all those sins of ignorance that you've committed, everywhere you stepped that you didn't mean to but got dirty, it's all taken care of. But sins of ignorance are different than the presumptuous sin. And the blood of bulls and goats will never cover, atone for, purposeful sin. This is why what Jesus did on the cross was so amazing. Because it took his blood, literally, to cover those sins. Now, if we do an inventory of the sins in our life, how many ignorant sins do you think you've committed? Few. Now, how many purposeful sins? I don't know if we have a long enough ticker tape. Because we all know it, don't we? The bloody hands, the things we purpose to do, are absolutely far more abundant than, oops, I stepped in something that I didn't mean to. The priest would have to wash. And they would have to wash every single time they went in or out of that place of serving. They would have to wash every day. They would have to wash again and again their feet and their hands. And guys, this is such an amazing thing to me. They didn't have to take a bath all over again, just their feet and their hands, just that part that came into contact with sin and the world, the dirt of the world. Otherwise, they would have been seen here taking a full bath again. Do you understand? They would have had to have been bathed all over. And this is such an awesome truth, because this is the reality that you and me enjoy. That is this. The point of contact with the world, the dirt that I get on my feet, even the blood on my hands, only means my hands and my feet have to be cleansed. In other words, it does not change my standing in Jesus Christ. No matter what, all that needs to be cleansed is my hands and my feet, not the rest of me. And this is important. This is so amazing. Nothing that comes into contact with me or you can cause you to be unborn again. It's a physical impossibility for you to be unborn physically. Did you know that? Of course you did. You can't go up to somebody and say, well, you know, I can make it so you were never born. No, you can't. You can make me wish I was never born. But you can never make me unborn. I've been born. I'm physically in this world, and you can kill me, you can take me out, but you can't cause me never to be born. Neither can spiritual defilement that comes at us, that gets on our feet, that gets on our hands, even when we take a willing part in it, it cannot cause me to be unborn again. And I sit back and I go, man, I'm so grateful for that, Lord. But I do need my hands washed and my feet washed. I need cleansing every day. And that's why there's water used here rather than blood being shown as the cleanser. Right? I mean, what can wash away my sin? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. Correct? Anybody want to refute that? No. It's, of course, sound doctrine. But that's not what's being shown here as the washing agent. What's being shown here is water. So water isn't being pictured here as washing away sin, but rather cleansing the priest in a purification process. Water is often spoken of in this particular context in the scriptures. What context? Well, it's the water of cleansing, and it's referred to as such in the water of the Word. It's the Word of God. The water is the Word. In Psalm 119, verse 9, the psalmist says, "How shall a young man cleanse his way? By taking heed thereto according to thy word." And we see Jesus in John 15:3 say, "Now you are clean through the word which I have spoken unto you." And also the Apostle Paul in Ephesians 5, verse 25 and 26 says this, "Christ also loved the church and gave himself for it that he might sanctify and cleanse it with the washing of water by the word." The word, the water. It washes us. Jesus told Peter when he was washing all the other disciples' feet at the Last Supper, remember? Peter said, "You can't wash my feet." Jesus said, "What? If I don't wash your feet, you have no part with me." Right? So Peter said, "Well, give me a whole bath. Wash everything." And Jesus said, "Nope, you don't need to be washed all over, just your feet. Your feet are dirty, Peter. And so I'll wash your feet. But if I don't wash them, you have no part with me." Now, don't mistake what Jesus says in him telling Peter that he has no part in him. He doesn't say that. He says, "You have no part with me." And there's a huge difference, folks. Jesus says, "Peter, you don't have any part with me if I don't wash your feet. But that doesn't mean that you're not in me." You see, when you're in this position of being in Christ, it has to do with positionally standing in your salvation. But with him, when you speak of with Christ, it has to do with fellowship, communion. "Peter, if you don't let me wash your feet, you're not going to have any fellowship with me. You're not going to be close to me." And so Peter said, "Oh man, then give me a whole bath." And Jesus said, "No, you don't need that. To be close to me, to have this intimacy with me, to be fellowshipping with me, all you need to do is have your feet washed." And guys, you see, the water in the laver is the word which cleanses our walk. And not only what we come into contact with inadvertently as we step perhaps someplace we didn't know we were stepping, but also It cleanses our hands, we're told here. We dip our hands in that same water, and it washes away the blood, which pictures death. And of course, we know the wages of sin is death. It cleanses us from those elements that we come into contact with. And again, these priests, they wash themselves. Before, Moses did it for them. And that's how it is our salvation. When we get saved and we're baptized, we're baptized into Jesus Christ, and we don't actually do it. Somebody else does it, don't they? I mean, you could probably go over to the lake if you want and dunk yourself, but you know, I thought about that water slide, Jimmy, self-serve. I could just stand up top, get the water slide going, and just shove them down the tube. I've got to get in the water, and I've got to dunk them and lift them out of that water, because they are giving their life to Jesus Christ. And when people come up and say, oh man, I got baptized last month or last year, but I need to get baptized again because I blew it and I've sinned. No, you don't. We tell them, right? No, you don't have to get baptized again. You're clean. You just need your feet washed. You need your hands washed in the water of the Word. And this is such a key, because these guys did it themselves. You can choose to wash every day, or you don't have to. You can choose to wash, but you don't have to do that every day if you don't want, you see. But our position in Christ, listen, doesn't change either way. But we are still sinners, and we get dirty, and what we need is washing in the Word, you see, and taking the Word and applying it to our life. Well, some people say, well, why should I? You just told me. My position in Christ doesn't change. I mean, whether I wash in the Word and study the Bible, or come here and listen to the Word being taught, or whatever, whether I do that or not, it doesn't change for me. Nothing changes positionally. I'm still as in Christ as I was, right? Yep. But here's the problem. Even though your position in Christ is unaffected by the washing, your fellowship with Christ is greatly affected. And this is a personal point of contention that you may have to work through, and all of us have to look at. What's the harm of being a little dirty if I don't lose my position, my standing in Christ? Thanks for freeing me up today. Now I know. I'm free. I don't have to worry about losing my position in Christ because of sin. No, but here's the problem. You'll be dirty. And I'll tell you, like me standing outside of my mom's house with mud caking up on my hair and on my face and under my armpits and in my toes in between, I felt miserable, and I needed cleansing so I could fellowship with the rest of the family, with the rest of my loved ones. I could not do it otherwise. I wasn't allowed in. Now, this doesn't mean you can't come to church. It doesn't mean you can't hang out with believers. But here's the problem. You will lack fellowship. You will lack closeness, intimacy with the Lord if you aren't allowing the Word to wash you. These priests, you see, they couldn't enter into the holy place unless they had washed their feet and their hands. They couldn't go into that place where they would serve. And guys, this is a choice you can make. You can absolutely make it. You can stay there where, I don't lose my position. Then if I'm a little dirty, oh well. And you can stay there. Many people do, perpetually, for the rest of their life. They stay in this place where, well, I'm in Christ, but they find they're not really with Him in fellowship. And what happens is they don't enter into the place of serving. Where the table of showbread was, the Word of God, they find themselves unable to share the word. They find themselves at the lampstand looking in, but not being able to take part because their light is diminished by dirt. They find themselves over looking at the altar of incense where prayers are ascending, and they find themselves losing interest in praying. And things just aren't very fruitful because they haven't washed and they can't enter into that place. You see, you can't serve the Lord very effectively if I don't allow the water of the word to wash me. I can't very well save anything that I take in for you, because really I haven't taken in anything at all. I can't share what I've learned and taken in with you because I haven't allowed it to wash me. And there are many, and I've seen it, I've experienced it personally. There's many dirty priests. And what we see in this lack of water of the word that washes the folks isn't happening because it's not washing me, perhaps. If you want to enter into a place where you're sharing effectively with other people, you're praying fervently for people and this church and others that are loved ones to you, you want to be so involved, and you want to be light, you want to be one of those lampstands that burns bright, you want that, well, here's the ticket, here's the key. You got to wash. You can't enter into that place of servants without being washed in the word. And this involves allowing the word to affect your heart, you know, taking it in and believing what the Lord says in his word. And that's why I love Wednesday nights. It's awesome. We take the word in, right? And it washes us. And then we go to the table and we say, Lord, man, you really showed me some stuff in the word tonight. And I want that word to wash me. And now I take again your body and your blood and I receive that again. I just remember what you did for me. And there's a refreshing, isn't there? Because the word has been washing. And when you allow that to happen, folks, it just blows your mind. And I believe that's the real issue at hand here. The word helps me stay clean. Did you know that if you're reading your Bible, it's incredibly hard to sin? I mean, when you're there studying the word, you're really immersed in the scriptures, it's hard to go do something sinful. I mean, first of all, you're totally convicted if you even think about sinning. And if you're in the word, it tends to cause your heart to go a different direction, doesn't it? Because if you put yourself under the word of God, you will have a much easier time, you see, staying clean. That's why the psalmist said, thy word have I hid in my heart that I might not sin against thee. I hang on to the word. It helps me keep from sinning. Well, yeah, but we're all going to sin anyway, right? Yep, you're going to sin anyway. But here's the problem. And this is the question. How much fellowship with the Lord do you want? How close do you want to be? Because the word of God, it'll bring you closer to him, but it also refreshes and revitalizes you. It gets you uplifted. And many of us need that. We need it today. We need it tomorrow. We need it next week. We've needed it perhaps for a long time. We need the word to refresh us and revitalize us. Otherwise, we just grow stale and stagnant. And one more thing, and I'm going to finish up here in just a minute, but one more thing I want you to remember. And we don't see it here in this part of the text, but in chapter 38 of Exodus, in verse 8, we're told that this brass bowl, this laver, that they were to wash their feet in the water of, We're told that it was made, and you can turn there and look it up. It's interesting. The brass that was used to make the laver came from the women's looking glasses, or literally their mirrors. See, back then the women didn't have glass mirrors like we have today. They had mirrors made of highly polished brass, really polished, so that you could really see your reflection. And this laver was made out of the mirrors of the women that brought those brass mirrors to have made into this bowl, this laver. It's not a mistake. It's not just coincidental. The priests came to the laver, and they would look down at that bowl of water, and what do you think they would see? They would see their reflection in that highly polished brass bowl with the water in it. And this is the part that I think troubles many, and why some people will not sit and listen to the Word of God, not regularly. Because the Word of God, if you allow it to not only wash you, wash your feet and hands, if you allow it to do that, that's great. But if you get into the Word and look into the Word like those priests would be looking into the water in that basin, you will be able to see yourself. It's revealing, isn't it? When you look in the Word, you see who you really are, what you really are, how you're really doing. Otherwise, I can trick myself so easily. I can say, oh, I'm doing great, really. You know, and we do that, right? People come up, how are you doing? I'm doing great. And really inside you're going, man, I'm miserable. And we don't say that because, you know, we want people to think we're doing okay. But the Word, when you look into it, it reveals who you are and where you are. And that's hard to look at sometimes, and I understand that. But when these priests came, they would see themselves in the Word. And that's the way the Word is. This Bible of ours, it's a mirror, folks. We look in it and we go, ooh, sometimes. Ah, is that really me? Yeah. And this is part of the point, isn't it? As soon as you saw yourself in the reflection, you'd go, man, let me get my feet and my hands in there quick. Because I can see who I am, and I need washing quickly. I need everything in my hands is dirty, and all my feet are dirty. I need to wash because I can see myself as I look into the Word. I know this may sound repetitive this morning. You already knew that the water was the Word and all that, but I want to share something with you. If you'll look into the Word daily, like these priests were to wash daily, you'll not only be washed, but you'll have fellowship with the Lord. This is how you fellowship with Him. This is how you get closer, you see. Well, what if I don't wash? Well, look what it says about these priests. They are to wash, verse 20, with water, that they die not. And if you don't wash, again, your standing, listen, with Christ doesn't change. But the relationship you have with Christ, the fellowship, the closeness you have with Him will begin to die. Oh, you know this is true. You know it is. You stay away from the Word. You drift off. You get into other things. And what happens? The first thing you realize is that your closeness with the Lord has died off. Your fellowship, your close relationship you had before, it's somehow dying. If you wash, you enter in. When you don't, you tend to stay away. It's just the way it is. When you get into the Word, now you can't wait to get here perhaps, or into a Bible study or whatever. I've been in the Word, so I'm ready. But if you haven't been in the Word, you go, I don't know. He might say something. He might say something that hits home. Or I might read my Bible and it might show me, like a mirror, really who I am. I don't know if I want to see that right now. And that's what keeps a lot of people from the Word. They don't want to see. I don't want to see who I am right now. I'm trying to have a good time. I'm trying to enjoy my sin a little bit. I don't want to see who I am right now. And that's a reality. People don't want to see it. They want to look at something else. No. And show them the Word. Uh-uh. Don't even want to look there. Don't even go there. And their feet and their hands being dirty keeps them from fellowshipping, and their relationship with the Lord seems rather dead. You'll be dirty. You can't serve very well. You just won't be in fellowship. And you're not going to be very happy, because you'll know the distance is there between you and the Lord. You'll know, you'll sense, you'll feel it. It's just inevitable. You can't help it. You'll know you're not close to the Lord, and that's what you're really craving, and so you're going to be unhappy. Because, guys, the Word washes us, and it cleanses us, and it reveals to us, and it refreshes us, it restores us. It rebukes us, it comforts us, but it encourages us, and it really clarifies things, doesn't it? I never see things so clearly as when I'm in the Word. Oh, I'll see me in a clear way, which sometimes is an ugly thing. But I also see Him clarified. And I see Him brighter and clearer. And I do see me and who I am. And I know there's a long ways to go, but I understand as the Word washes me, I really begin to see in sense that I'm close, even though I've got a long ways to go. And all He asks is that I come and be in His Word and let Him just kind of wash. But I have to choose to do this. Remember, the priests, they had to go to the bowl themselves. Moses didn't drag them over there and say, come on, you guys, get in there. They did this willingly. They did it on their own. And see, if you want any of these wonderful things to be a reality, restoration, cleansing, joy, clarification in your life of certain things, if you want any of these things to be real, you need the Word every single day, just like they did. And the Father loves you the same, but you won't experience what you ought to be unless you allow the Word to wash you. And guys, don't think that that distance you feel, don't think that that removal you feel is God being mean to you. It's not. But if He didn't allow there to be this distance and this feeling of separation, you wouldn't know that you're dirty. You would pretend and you'd kid yourself and you'd trick yourself and you'd deceive yourself. Oh, no, I'm not really dirty. I'm not really a mess. My hands aren't really bloodstained. My feet aren't really dirty. You know, I'm okay, really. If the Lord allowed you to have that intimacy with Him when that was the case, you wouldn't know. You'd deceive yourself, but there's no way for you to get around the fact that when you are dirty, you've been in the world, you've been contacting dirt, you've been grabbing a hold of bloody things, sinful things, you know it's true. You can't escape the empty deadness that's inside you when that's so. You also can't escape the reality of when you come to the Word and it washes you. What happens? Your heart begins to go, oh man, that's right. That's right, Lord, You love me, and all You want to do is just bathe me in the Word. Wash away the blood off my hands. Wash my feet. And then I have part with You, just like Peter. Jesus said, you'll have a part with me. Otherwise, you don't have a part with me. There's no fellowship with me unless I wash you. Unless I wash you. Unless I wash you in the Word every day. You're going to start drifting. Fellowship is lost. It's not going to be what it should be. And it's not legalism, folks. It's absolutely relationship that really God's intending here. And do you want it? Do you want it? Let's pray. Father, I thank you that in the Word, we see that there's grace and mercy. And so when a sinner comes who's been to the altar already and is saved, when a sinner comes, Lord, there's this abundance of grace and mercy that really is the bathing agent. The water of the Word is filled with grace. The water of the Word is full of mercy. And we find there that if we simply come, we're not turned away. We're not having to be or prove something, Lord. We just have to come to the Word and let it wash us. It's just putting ourselves in that place where we can take it in. And it does the washing. You do the cleansing. Father, I pray today that you would refresh us, revitalize our lives. Even today, as the Word, Lord, has been shared, would you wash each one of us? May our hands, Lord, and our feet today be cleansed. Lord, the things that perhaps we've been involved with purposely, that have gotten our hands bloody with sin, may you cleanse those things. May we commit them to you. And Father, things that have affected us just by being in the world and walking in the world, would you just cleanse us, Lord, even from the things that we didn't know were affecting us. The world's polluted, and we live in it. So, Lord, wash us again today. Wash us in the Word today so we can walk and live, Father, doing things with our hands that are holy. And, Lord, walking places, Father, that perhaps are a little less dirty than other places. Keep our steps. Direct our hands. Wash us, Lord. And forgive us. Cleanse us again. Restore many today who perhaps, Father, have just been a little distant. Bring us back. Fill us up. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Well, God bless you guys. Have a great rest of the day. Enjoy the sunshine. See you Wednesday night.